Thank you for listening to the Rev Left Vineyard podcast. For more information, visit www.revleftvineyard.church.
So, Lord, we just love you. We need you. We want you. We desire your presence and your power and your goodness and your graciousness and your mercy and your patience and your faithfulness, Lord, to be on display this morning. We also just want more of your love to invade our hearts and our minds and our lives. And Lord, I just ask that, Lord, one thing I want to ask this morning is that you would meet us as we think about this new series, A Meal with Jesus. What does it mean to press into, Lord, being on mission around the dinner table? Lord, would you just magnify Christ in our hearts? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're doing this series. We're starting today. We're calling it A Meal with Jesus, Discovering Grace, Community, and Mission Around the Table. And before we do that and jump into the actual content of the message, I just wanted to share with you one of the most powerful meals I've ever had in my life. A group of pastors and I, a few years ago, went to the country of Nepal. Anybody know where Nepal is? Yeah? Nepal is an amazing country. It's right in between China and India. And the way I describe it to people is, imagine having the best of Chinese culture and India culture all combined in one area. So the food was bomb. I mean, it was like so good. And the whole time we were there, we were meeting people all over and doing preaching at churches and training pastors. And this one day, it was a free day. And so they said, we want to wake up. We're going to go and we're going to eat food at this location and go to this other place and have this food here. And so we literally spent the whole day eating different types of foods. So as an example, I had water buffalo pizza, and it was mind-blowing, all right? I mean, it was like so good, and we just got full, we were so full. And then we were given a phone call, and this guy called the person we were with and said, hey, we want you to come and visit this orphanage and see all these kids. They love to be able to sing some songs for you. And we just put together a little food for you. I'm like, all right, that sounds great. So we go there, and there's about 200 kids that had prepared all these songs for us. But behind the kids were about four tables worth of food. And I was like, there's no way I can eat any more food. I've literally eaten all day, but I'll make some space, you know. But I just didn't think I'd be able to really press into this food. I mean, there was so much food. And so all eight of us sat down, listened to these songs, and then we gathered around this table. And these children, these orphans, just started serving us. And so we were eating water buffalo, we were eating things that I don't even know what it was, but it was amazing, all these curries, and we were just eating and eating and eating. And as I was in the context of this meal, I was watching all these kids, and these kids were on cloud nine because they were having an opportunity to be a blessing in people's lives. And I just remember sitting there watching how they were serving us, and there was something in that. There was something unique in that opportunity of being able to have a meal with other people and being served that Jesus made himself really known to me. And I experienced God's grace. I really saw the value of community. And then I saw God's mission on display as we were working together. And so that has been in the back of my mind for a long time, this idea of meals and how we can use meals in the kingdom of God. And so what I want to do this morning is actually spend some time kind of introducing this series and looking at how Jesus used meals. And we'll talk about where we see that in Scripture. But what I want to do is start with this statement here, is that food is a connecting point for human beings. In fact, you know, if you spend any time, is there any foodies in the room? Let me just make sure. Foodie is what I was told I am. I like all, there's only four or five, yeah, get your hand up. I saw it right there. Put it up. All right. If you like food, yeah, right? Food is good. All right. I love food, as you can tell. But let's not talk about that. Moving on. So food, though, comes from people all over the world. Right? We get to enjoy food from all over the world. You know, food has this really powerful way of communicating. In fact, there was a young boy who, his mom, every time his mom would kiss him, she'd say it was little marshmallow kisses. And then when his mom passed away, you know, his dad would leave little marshmallows on the pillow just to remind him of his mom. And like food is just this, it's just a powerful connecting point for human beings. But there's another truth about meals, and it's this meals are full of significance. Meals are full of significance throughout Scripture. In fact, some of the things around meals are also full of significance. I think of this sign that says, "We serve whites only." This is communicating something, right? And it's evil and it's wrong, but it's communicating something about meals. And then you have the power, though, I think, of meals to connect people. And this is one of the beautiful things that I see God doing, is that there's multi-ethnic groups of people gathering around tables and learning from each other. And then one of the truths that I've experienced in my life is that, you know, meals are full of significance, especially in the context of family. Like every time that my kids and my wife and Art and Lisa, for instance, have meals right now as we're sitting around the dinner table, it's like really, really good. There's just an opportunity for community to be experienced in that, and grace. And so meals are absolutely full of significance. And one of the reasons why is because meals matter, because they're an effective way of showing both companionship but also hospitality. Like, meals are a great way to communicate that to people. In fact, what's really interesting about meals is that the word companionship or community, companion actually comes from a Latin word, which is cum, and then panis, which means both together and bread. And so that's where we get the idea of breaking bread together. The whole concept of companionship was originally built on the concept that you would gather together and you would break bread. You would actually have a meal together. That was part of the history of it. And in the world of the Bible, it's pretty much the same thing. In fact, throughout Scripture, we read about the need and the necessity of hospitality. Okay, and so here's a couple of scriptures for us to think about. In 1 Timothy 3:2, when Paul is writing about the role of being a pastor, one of the things he says is he must enjoy having guests in his home. That's actually one of the prerequisites for someone to be able to be a pastor. And so I just want to let you guys all know, you guys are totally welcome at my house at Art and Lisa's. You guys are all welcome. Right after this, just everybody can come over. Are they even in here? No. So, oh, Lisa is. Just kidding, Lisa. Just kidding. Come on over, though. But it's a requirement, actually, to be a hospitable person to be a pastor. That's according to the Apostle Paul. Or Paul also says in Romans 12, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Or one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Romans 15:7. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And finally, Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Here's the deal about hospitality. Hospitality is such an important thing because it is a reflection of God's hospitality to us. I mean, that's what Romans 15:7 is saying. Welcome others as Christ has welcomed you. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're a follower of Jesus, would you agree with me that Jesus does everything he can to welcome us into his kingdom? Right? I mean, the things we love about Jesus, that his arms are wide open, right? And he says, welcome. So hospitality is a really big deal throughout Scripture and throughout history. Now, the reality about meals, though, is that meals can either be a blessing or a curse. Food can either be a blessing or a curse. Right now, television chefs have become celebrities, right? Everybody recognize that? I mean, they're all over, even though Americans cook less than they ever have in all of history, and yet they're celebrities. This is what gets me, is that Americans spend over $50 billion on dieting every year, and American Christians spend more on dieting than they do on actually supporting missions. So I would join this guy right here saying, what? That doesn't make sense, right? And so meals can either be a blessing or a curse. That is the reality. And so what I want us to think about is this idea of meals and transitioning to the concept and the importance of Jesus and the mission of God, okay? So let's think about that a little bit. Jesus and the mission of God. The Son of Man came, ... I think if we ask that question, in fact, I've done that before, like, why do you think that Jesus came? And I get a lot of different answers. And so some people will say, the Son of Man came to preach. He was a preacher. Other people will say that the Son of Man came to heal. He came to heal people. Others will say that Jesus came to spread love, or he came to announce the kingdom of God. And those things are all somewhat true. Even the concept of him coming to die on the cross is true. Like, those are all true things. But this is what Jesus' own words are in that question, the Son of Man. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others." That was pretty good. It's kind of like, Father. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to
serve others.
And to give his life as a ransom for many. Or he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." I mean, he was intentionally coming to seek and save the lost. And so when we think about the mission of God, I think these are really clear statements that Jesus himself said that clarify why he came. But listen to this. In Luke 7:34, it says, "The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks." That's interesting to me. Now, the first two scriptures, I think, explain the reason why Jesus came. He came to serve, not to be served, to give up his life. He came to seek and save the lost. But the third verse, Luke 7:34, clarifies Jesus' method, and this is what we want to look at. So how did Jesus come? He came eating and drinking. So if we look at the whole entire verse, Luke 7:34, we see this. "The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners." Now this says, I think, a lot about Jesus' ministry. You with me? This says a lot about Jesus' ministry. In fact, I think in addition to this verse, we also have to think about what earlier happens. And so this is what we record in Luke chapter 5. "One day some people said to Jesus," they said, "John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly." In other words, they're doing very spiritual things, Jesus. They do that all the time. "And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking?" That's the question that I think we need to wrestle with. Why are Jesus' disciples always found throughout Scripture eating and drinking? And so these two verses, I think, say a lot about Jesus and his followers. In fact, one theologian says this: "Jesus spent his time eating and drinking a lot of his time. He was a party animal. His mission strategy was a long meal stretching into the evening. He did evangelism and discipleship round a table with some grilled fish, a loaf of bread, and a pitcher of wine." And so I think that if we really wrestle with the New Testament, then we're going to have to actually recognize some things. We have to see some things. Before we do that, let's just do a little segue. How many of you like optical illusions? Anybody? All right. I love those optical illusions that like are just like, what? Where is that coming from? So here's one. What? Right? You see it, you're like, do you see the two faces? Right? All right. So that one's freaky. Here's another one. How many legs does this elephant have? I don't know. It's a pretty messed up elephant. Like, one leg's not even there, right? So another optical illusion makes me want to get sick. Right? And then another optical illusion for our side benefit is there's multiple pictures here. And so when I'm asking the question of do you see it, I want us to think about this. Is oftentimes when we approach the Bible and we read stories that we may have read or seen or heard many, many times, we oftentimes actually miss what's happening. And so what I want to do in this series is really provoke your thinking toward developing what I'm going to call a theology around food throughout the Gospel of Luke. In fact, I'm going to venture to guess that as you spend time over the next 6 weeks looking at the Gospel of Luke, if you start reading the Gospel of Luke, you're going to notice a couple things. You're going to notice what biblical scholars say about the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus is seen either coming from a meal, going to a meal, or at a meal. If you just read through the Gospel of Luke, it's over and over again. Jesus is constantly using the table to actually accomplish his mission of seeking and saving the lost. And so we're going to spend some time doing that. But let me do this here. Let me just show you through the Gospel of Luke how meals actually function as such a central theological, missional aspect of what he does. Look at this. In Luke 5, Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners at the home of Levi. In Luke 7, Jesus is anointed at the home of Simon the Pharisee during a meal, right? In Luke 9, Jesus feeds the 5,000. In Luke 10, Jesus eats in the home of Martha and Mary. In Luke 11, Jesus condemns the Pharisees and teaches the law at a meal. In Luke 14, Jesus is at a meal when he urges people to invite the poor to their meals rather than their friends. In Luke 19, Jesus invites himself to dinner with Zacchaeus. Anybody remember the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was... No? Okay. I grew up in the church, so that's like one of my... Father Abraham... Sorry, moving on. Luke 22, we have the account of the Last Supper, right? Which is a meal with Jesus. And then finally in Luke 24, one of my favorite passages of the Bible, we have the risen Christ having a meal with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then later he eats fish with the disciples in Jerusalem. So as I'm saying, as you're reading through the Gospel of Luke, what you're going to see is over and over again, Jesus is having meals with other people. And he does it to be on mission. And so I think for us as a church, maybe something we should really kind of spend some time doing, and maybe the challenge for each one of you in this room is that we should rethink our missional strategy. We should rethink our missional strategy. I mean, what's beautiful about every one of the meals that Jesus has is that they represented something bigger than just a meal. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, these stories represent something far bigger than just having some fish and some bread. They give us pictures into a new world, into a new form of government, the kingdom. And it also gives us a picture of a new way of doing mission or doing ministry, a new way of expressing grace and experiencing community. And what's beautiful about the meals is that they weren't just lessons, they were actually applications of God's grace. As an example, many times Jesus eats with people who he should not have been eating with, right? He has meals with people that he shouldn't have spent time with. And all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law oftentimes judge him for that because he spends time with people that really were outside of God's circle, so to speak. And so there's a really, really deep connection with Jesus' meals and God's grace. There's this really, really deep, deep connection between the meals that Jesus shared and God's grace. So Tim Chester has another statement that I think is really helpful for us. He says, Jesus is called a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. This is why eating and drinking were so important to the mission of Jesus. They were a sign of his friendship with tax collectors and sinners. His excess of food and excess of grace are linked. In the ministry of Jesus, meals were enacted grace, community, and mission. And so, therefore, I think in light of this idea of us rethinking our missional strategy, an appropriate question for everybody in this room is this. Is your dining room table on mission? Is your table on mission? Is your coffee table on mission? Are you seeing those spaces like Starbucks or, you know, the Enjoy Store or all the different places that we might gather? Are you seeing those as third spaces where you can actually be on mission for Jesus? That's kind of the whole entire thrust of the next 5 weeks after today, is we're going to be exploring this topic and looking at how Jesus uses the meals. And so really this morning we're kind of just starting it off. And so let me do this. Let me talk to you about the application. The application, I think, for us this morning is invite someone over for a... All right, or if you're not a food kind of person, go out and get a cup of coffee with them, right? Or you just start inviting people over because food connects people, right? That's really kind of the gist of it. So let me tell you why this has been a really powerful thing for me. You know, I've been pastoring now for about 12 years as a lead pastor. And before that, I'd served on staff at churches. And here's one observation I have, is that most people look at my office as going to the principal's room. You know, it's true. It's like, oh, I got to go meet the pastor. And they come in and like, they don't know what they can say. And it's just really awkward. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just a normal human being. Do you want a cup of coffee? And they're like, I don't know. Is it like blessed coffee? And I'm like, I don't know. Are you going to bless it? And it's just really awkward. And it's the same way, though, I think, when you're just having, like, what I call those ministry meetings, so to speak. And yet, I've learned over the years that one of the most easy ways to create opportunities to engage in subjects about the kingdom is over a cup of coffee or sharing a meal. And that's just been true. I mean, this is crazy story. I had this guy and his wife were having, like, major marital issues, and everybody knew it. And so my wife and I said, hey, why don't we get together and let's meet at the church and let's talk. And so they came, and I talked, and they stared at me for like an hour. And we got done, and then, you know, they went home, and Don and I were like, well, that wasn't very effective. I think they felt a little awkward. I felt awkward. It was super weird. And then Don, because she's way smarter than me, said, well, why don't we have more for dinner? And I was like, no, we gotta really, you know, get to the bottom of this. You know, we have to have another meeting. And she said, no, we're going to have them over for dinner. And so they came over for dinner, and the first thing they opened up on around the dinner table was just the challenge they were going through. And I was like, my wife's a genius. I was like, she's so smart. But what I learned in that context was that around a table or around meals, for whatever reason, people are disarmed, walls come down, and people open up. I mean, is that true about anybody in here? Would you just say that is true? Like, there's three of you that are going to tell the truth. Everybody's liars, because I know you, all right? The reality is that around the table and in sharing meals, relationship is developed. People connect, and there are opportunities to dive into the depths of God and to explore where the Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives. And so that's basically the application. The challenge for us is that we're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at different passages in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to see that Jesus has no problem entering into the world of broken human beings. And he has meals with them, and he drinks wine with them, and if he had coffee, I'm positive he would have drank a lot of it, because coffee is amazing, right? But he does that because he's trying to form relationship with other human beings. And that's our application. As followers of Jesus, we have opportunities to build relationship. And I think one of the most effective ways for us to build those relationships is in that context, okay? And so that's really kind of the application of what we're going to be doing for the next 5 weeks after today. Now, we have something really beautiful that we're going to do this morning, and I'm going to actually have the music team come on up right now, when we talk about a meal with Jesus, I think the first thing I think about is communion, or also known as the Eucharist. Eucharist coming from the Greek word for thanksgiving, or the Lord's Supper. And so, as you know, the bread represents the broken body of Jesus, and the cup represents the shed blood of Jesus. And one thing that I believe, and you might not agree with me, but I do not think this is just all symbolic. You know, some people say, oh, there's no actually anything happening. I think our theology of the Holy Spirit being present with us compels me to believe that there is something unique happening as we receive the bread and the cup. He is present with us. He is refreshing us. He is renewing his relationship with us. He is refocusing us on the forgiveness that comes through Jesus' cross, right? It's happening. But one of the things I also love about the Lord's table is that the Lord's Supper is the Lord's. It's not mine and it's not yours. It's his table. And so that's why I think in the Vineyard we would say, if you are a follower of Jesus, or if you sense this morning the Lord drawing you to experience the goodness and grace of God, you are absolutely welcome to come and receive the bread and the cup. There are no rules and regulations for who can and can't, as long as you can recognize what this is. This is a unique meal where we experience God's grace. But this is the beautiful thing about this morning, is that it's a real meal with Jesus, but we have a little girl who's not little, she's 10, but Macy Grissom. Everybody know who great Macy is, right? Brandon and Katie's daughter. She wrote a song this last week. And, you know, I was like, oh yeah, 10-year-old wrote a song. That sounds really good. And then I heard it and I was like, sign this contract right now, all right? I mean, it was so good. And so this morning, we're actually going to transition into focusing our attention on communion. And we're going to be renewing our hearts and our minds around Jesus' death on the cross. And we're going to sing the song that Macy wrote this week. And I think it's going to be a really beautiful opportunity for us as a community to celebrate the grace of God in community, which empowers us for God's mission. So would you stand up with me this morning? Before we move into that, I think this series is timely for us for a number of reasons, because this is the way forward for us as a church to engage in God's mission, evangelism, and discipleship. So in a month, we're launching our core groups, which I think core groups are basically a great opportunity for a meal to be shared, coffee to be shared, cookies to be shared, for relationships to develop, and for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. That's like kind of the whole point. And so in this season, I think you can do one of two things. You can either ignore that, or you can press into it. You can either ignore the opportunities that we have as a church to invite people out to lunch, to engage in meals and conversation around those meals, or not. And so I just want to encourage you, even today, why not invite someone out to lunch? Say, hey, I'd like to go out to lunch with you. Are you free this morning, this afternoon? Can we get coffee this week, or can we do dinner? I would encourage you to do that. But as we sing this song, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have ushers dismissed from the back rows. And then the way this is going to go down is you folks over in these sections are going to come down the middle aisles, and then you'll go back, receive the bread and the cup, and go back. Same thing for you. They're going to dismiss you from the back row. You'll come up the middle aisle and then go back to your seats, and the same thing over there. And as we do that, come forward, receive the bread and the cup, go back to your seat, and then after we sing the song, we're going to partake of it together as a family, okay? Okay.